Welcome back, friends. We left off with the martyrdom of Thomas More, and now we're going to take up Louis Martin and Maria Azalea Guerin. And I've got a French scholar here.
I want corrected too much.
Mea culpa. All right. So these are the parents. So let's just go ahead and say it up front. These are the parents of Therese of Lisieux. St. Therese will end up being a doctor of the church, and we've talked about that a little bit prior shows. Okay, Louis Martin. They were canonized in October of 2015. So there are three distinctive times in a saint's life that the church asks us to consider. The first is the age in which they lived, and it's usually helpful to see what are the sins or heresies going on. The second is when they're canonized, and during the canonization proceedings, explicit mention of the reason for their sanctification is highlighted. So if you want to know why were they it'll tell you right there in that proceeding. And then the third time in those rare cases when a saint is declared a doctor is for the universal edification of all, that is a person who will transcend their time with a body of writing, and Therese is their daughter, and she does that. Zelie was born in 1831 to a family of a peasant background. So she comes from a peasant background, but listen to where she'll work. Her industry will be in the township of Gaudelaine near Alençon, the lake. Her military father was overbearing, and her mother was aloof and indifferent to Zelie. So she doesn't like, she's coming from a very, happy childhood. From her letters to her brother and sister, one sees Zelie's temperament marked by both melancholy and liveliness. Maybe like her daughter, she had suffered in childhood with headaches and a sensitive nature. Zelie was given a solid Catholic education, and from that atmosphere of piety, she sought to enter religious life like her older sister. Zelie was categorically refused entrance as a visitation nun, and she did not seek entrance into other orders. Later in life, she would become a third order Franciscan. Accepting this refusal, she turned to the Lord in humble prayer. So there's the prayer, lively prayer, particularly through the intercession of Our Lady in regards to two questions. What type of work should she pursue, and whom should she marry? From an inner locution, so she hears within her heart the Lord speak to her, she heard distinctly to make Point d'Alençon lace. And so that's a very costly material bought by the upper classes. Even though she comes from peasantry, she is not engaging in this noble lower income type of life. And neither does her husband. She was an exceptional businesswoman, and she managed several employees during a time when women did not excel in such matters easily or often. The line of work had a distinct advantage of allowing Zelie to be near her anticipated children. The second question, whom should she marry? She humbly waited on the Lord. She refused offers of socially advantageous arrangements, preferring to wait on whom the Lord would indicate. The Lord again spoke clearly into her heart to marry Louis Martin. Louis was a successful businessman who made watches. So again, that's a high-end luxury item. One report is that at the time of their marriage, they each had assets of approximately $50,000 in cash. and I guess in today's dollars, and they each had a paid for home. So they had a paid for home and they had $50,000 in the bank. I guess that they would consider you be doing okay. It is worth noting that saints can come from all types of circumstances and means. Some are poor, like Catherine of Siena. Some are highly educated, as Thomas Aquinas and Francis de Sales. While other saints might be classified as upper middle class, Lewis and Zelli fall into this latter category. And I think that that's really important to think about, because sometimes there's this tendency to think that all saints are from a downtrodden
background. Sure.
Yeah. All right. So after marrying, Lewis and Zelli decided to live celibately. But after discussing the matter with their confessor, they humbly listened to his advice and commenced a conjugal marriage with 9 children resulting. Only 5 daughters would live during this epoch of high infant mortality. With each pregnancy, birth, and at times death of a child, Zelli remained rooted in the sure knowledge that God brings good out of all situations for those who love him. She rose early in the morning, worked late into the night, as she had both the cares of a large home and a successful business to manage. She was sparse with herself, but generous with others.
Very reflective of Joachim.
Yes, yes. With the arrival of her children, Zelli's vocation deepened and her anxiety from childhood waned. She understood her mission was to give her children life and to bring them up to be saints. So this notion of to be saints, it didn't originate within the last 50 years or within some orders. It's always been part of the church's patrimony. Sometimes that knowledge itself might ebb and flow. But, right. Okay. The religious sense of the home was based on 3 pillars: love of God above all things, trust in divine providence, and resignation to God's will. The final end, the view to eternity, was always in sight and directed their home. Zelli's joy, formed by this telos, was at complete odds to post-revolutionary France, which is get what you can today, right? There was the destruction of the guilds, right? It was money. The family was upended. France of this time was greatly de-Christianized and becoming increasingly secularized. It was not uncommon for people with Christian names to discard those for secular or pagan ones. Victor Hugo's father, casting aside his Christian name of Joseph in exchange for Brutus, is one example. Money and status is what France at this time used to measure success. So that's the sin. That's the heresy. Zelli finds these views thrice unhappy. Zelli saw happiness does not belong to this earth, but to heaven. Heaven is our true home. Okay, so it's time to read. Here's some books. So here's some cute little books from Tan. They're sweet. The Father of the Little Flower and the Mother of the Little Flower, Tan books. They're cute. And then, of course, homework. Oh, and I see I also have some communication from St. Joan Gorm. I have a friend with private communication also listed there. She was a French scholar and taught up at Mount St. Mary's at many years ago. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, Zelli Martin and Louis are such, I was saying, you know, they're, like, Monica was so proximate to the Blessed Mother in temporal times, and we ourselves are so proximate to the Martin family that it seems as though we can really know them, right? We have pictures of them. We have, and particularly of St. Therese in her childhood, we have actual photographs of Louis and Zélie Martin. And, you know, and we know so much about their story because St. Therese was very obedient in and writing out much of her histories, and we know of her sisters, but they're also so poignant because they're so real, right? They had five daughters who lived to adulthood, but they lost four sons in very, very early infancy. And so in terms of that element of intimacy that our Lord has given us with these saints who are married saints, and these saints, unlike I think any of the other saints, have been particularly raised to the altar intentionally as a couple. As you were saying before, St. Thomas More was raised to the altar on his own. St. Monica was raised to the altar on her own. And although we have a lively hope that both of their spouses likely went to heaven as a result of the sacramental marriage that they had with their spouses, in the instance of Louis and Zélie Martin, we definitely know that with a lively assurance that they not only lived together a very strong union on earth, although Zélie Martin ended up dying much earlier than Louis, 10 or 15 years earlier, I believe. We know, though, that it's such a beautiful assurance to those of us who put such hope and confidence in the grace of that sacrament. You know, my priest, actually, when he married us, said that there are very, very few brides and grooms who go in different directions at the end of their life. Mm-hmm. You know, and I think that this is a great mercy for us to be given, this couple yoked together in life and now able to bestow abundant blessings to us in heaven. And one can only imagine how radiant Saint Therese was, as you were saying before, that, you know, our happiness doesn't end. You know, it's not as though we reach a level of happiness in heaven and now there's no more happiness for us, right? I mean, happiness in heaven is going to be perpetually amplified by the goodnesses of other people achieving heaven, right? I mean, they say that everyone rejoices when a sheep that was lost is found, but one can only imagine the tremendous joy of heaven when the church canonized, like how happy St. Therese and her sisters would have been at the canonization of their mother and father.
That's correct. All right, my friends, we'll pick up in the next show, continuing on with Blesseds and Saints. We may take up some more concept of Zélie and Martin, because they have so much to offer us. Till then, fides, Rocio.